I'm Leah Ferguson from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place where community members, friends, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Parc.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student,
my science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
My name is Jessie Young Robertson. We are at the University of Alaska Fairbanks in the Akasofu building. I am talking to Kira. She used to be my boss supervisor, but now she's my friend.
So I'm Kira Hansen. We started off as colleagues slash supervisor, and I consider us colleagues and friends.
There is a budding conversation about mental health in STEM, mental health in academics, mental health, etc. However, there's not a lot of meat behind that argument, and it really bothers me. So from your perspective, like, how do we start venturing into the conversation about like the academic institution, the science institution?
My background has become, as a counselor, very much DBT informed. DBT is dialectical behavior therapy. A lot of what I emphasize from that perspective for people is learning to evaluate the facts first. So when we have a feeling and when we're having this problem, is removing kind of our judgments and our emotions to the extent we can at the moment, and then really focusing on the facts. I think we can't really look at a solution until we really see the array of what's really going on. Like, what is the problem here? It's really challenging as human beings to put our thoughts and feelings and beliefs aside, kind of, and just look at the facts from everybody's perspective, shall we say, without feeling defensive.
That's interesting, because I was talking to an individual the other day, and they were mentioning about a student they were working with. Now, from the nature of the story, it sounded like, you know, maybe a 10% systems problem and a 90% person problem. I think, like, if I refer back to my own experience, when is this like a me problem? When is this like a them problem? And then when is this an us problem? You know, mentor-mentee dynamics comes up a lot. And so, you know, some of what I've heard from people who are on the mentee side is like, I'm looking for this support, but then the relationships are really toxic. And really, that's the word I'm trying to back away from, because what I want to know is, what are the parameters that go around it being toxic? And what I'm realizing, what we're talking about, are incompatibilities. I feel like when people see or experience an incompatibility, there's all this feeling that goes with it, like somebody has to be in the wrong here, when really it's okay. It's part of life to be incompatible with a place or a person. And I think where the quote unquote toxicity comes out is if you stay in an incompatibility and the behaviors become disruptive.
I think a lot of us, we just come with different values and beliefs, and those are shaped by our life experiences, what we saw in our family or around us. Like, some people, like, I'm not here to make friends. And other people want or believe it should be more like, we're a family here. And so knowing that, like knowing what you are expecting out of this relationship to begin with, really, I think, shapes that. Because when it doesn't live up to that, that's when we start struggling. You know, when we are not getting what we think work should look like is when we're like, what is this?
This is toxic.
Yeah. A lot of times we get stuck in this idea of who is responsible for changing. And not me. I'm not in the wrong here, you know? And so really evaluating the options for change, which look like, you know, we could do nothing and normally stay miserable. We could change how we feel about it. So sometimes we can change how we look at a situation or just acceptance. So interpersonal skills-wise, we can change how we interact with the situation to change our feelings. So once we've exhausted those items, do we need to change our relationship with that system or that person? But I think we rule out or don't know how to do this stuff in the middle. And so we only see stay miserable or leave.
Whether it's a collaboration or it's a mentor-mentee relationship, people like launch into that relationship they think about it more of like, oh, well, there's this neat project to do, this neat thing to do, what an opportunity, blah, 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 instead of like, can we work together? Like, what are the things that are going to like get in the way of being able to have a productive relationship? Very rarely do those conversations happen until people are like mid-career and they're like, you know what? I need to work with people that I get along with. Like, when it goes south, that's when things really blow up for people. And so if I see knowing yourself as one of the key ingredients to developing like a healthy interpersonal relationship, how does somebody do that?
First off, distress. Distress is the level to which we are experiencing any emotion and how uncomfortable that makes us feel. As our discomfort grows, our ability to cope and other items decreases. And so a distress scale, we tend to look at on a 1 to 10. 1 or 0 being just the lowest, like no distress or little that you've ever felt. 10 being the most you've ever felt, just like absolutely intolerable. What we do first is, what does this physically look like? How does it feel in your body, in your brain? What are you doing to some extent with these physical items, maybe like rubbing your hands or like clenching your fist stuff? Some people become more like verbal and vocal and like activated, and some people become more shut down. And then we look at, you know, next for each of those, what do you do? So going back to those behaviors, active versus checking out, when do you begin to feel uncomfortable? Like, when is it just starting to be like, oh, I kind of wish I wasn't in this situation. When then on that scale is kind of what we call the cliff or the point of no return. We all have this point where we are just unable to respond well. Maybe we've checked out. Maybe we're like yelling if we're more of an activated person. Like we're not, we're just, it's kind of the done. It's just after this point, nothing good or productive is happening. So you kind of create like a box there, you know, of your low and your high. And then looking kind of in between that box is also what we call the danger zone or the beginning of the end. If we really look at when you start tumbling down the hill towards that cliff, when would that be? And then these become really actually quite useful because then you talk about, you know, knowing ourselves, we can look at the events. So what puts me in this space? Kind of further down, takes time and work, but also developing a plan for those. So knowing these are the things I can do to remove myself from the situation or cope in the moment so I don't reach that point.
When I see people, like I'd say maybe more senior personnel, get very angry about this, that, or the other, it almost comes out as like an entitlement to that anger. I have every right in the world to be this way. And there's no longer any room to be like, maybe we need to take a step back. You have the urge to fire off the email. You have the urge to make the call and tell someone off. You have the urge to like burn this to the ground versus creating some distance. Like, you know what? I'm going to wait 3 days. And if I still have to write the email, I'm going to share it with a trusted colleague who's going to be like, you know, what is the goal of this? Is it to burn it to the ground? Is it to create understanding? Is it to show somebody you're right?
A concept I really love from DBT that goes with that is this idea of our feelings are always valid to us. So like, okay, like you feel angry and that's, I'm not going to come in and be like, you don't get to be angry.
You should be angry.
Yeah, you don't get to do that. But it doesn't mean that our anger is appropriate for the moment. I think that resources are scarce, right? I mean, a lot of times people have to fund their positions through grants. And what that does is instead of kind of like creating this place where we invite other people in and let me help you succeed, well, that's competition.
That's a huge part of this. We get talked to about like you should collaborate across the board and do all this stuff. And it's just like, I have people to pay and I have a lab to keep open. And so I think about money all of the time. For a lot of the research faculty, it's almost like you're paying rent to be here. And that's part of, I think, the mental health aspect and the scarcity issue is there are not enough jobs for the number of higher degrees we're producing.
I feel the same about mental health. I mean, not that we don't have enough jobs. Personal opinion. Disclosure there. But I feel like we don't do enough to prepare people for the reality of working in the field. There are plenty of jobs, but those jobs are at a community agency. We have actually less people pursuing their degree because there's actually not a lot of financial incentive. But those people are leaving that do get their degree with some very unrealistic ideas about what they are moving into financially, paperwork, all this other stuff. And so we are like having all these people move through this field, but not actually coming out willing to fill the needs that are genuinely occurring.
Alaska Voices is a place for communities to connect through conversation. This podcast was the brainchild of Jesse Young Robertson and Bob Bolton with support from the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center, who also funded today's episode. The Alaska CASC is committed to providing regionally relevant science for Alaska's changing climate. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skonberg of Mossy Stone Media. The Alaska Voices team includes Micah Hahn at the University of Alaska Anchorage and Leah Ferguson, Mike DeLue, Annika Ord, and Diego Nareña at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.